Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
I want to introduce somebody to you. And I may have to introduce you. I was telling some of you guys this morning, because you may not see him all that often, because generally on Sunday mornings he's at the jail preaching to men who are in prison. And this is my dad. For Christmas, I gave him a little plaque thing that I made. And on it I wrote some words from a song that say, "My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man." Well, this is the man. This is my dad, Malcolm Prevett. You guys welcome him.
Well, it's good to be here tonight, and I may get Dee to help me. I don't know. Let's see. I got to figure something out here. Can you call her? This is going to be a little different. I will say this. If you finish before I do, just raise your hand. I'll try to pick it up, you know, change the pace a little bit, and nip my southern draw in the bud. I like to say what a pleasure it is to be here. I thank the pastor for calling me. I don't mind that he called me when he was sick, because I call people when I'm sick and I don't even know it. I will say I had the flu too, and I felt so bad I thought I was going to die, and I called the funeral home just to see if there were any specials. And they did say they had a layaway plan. I was happy to hear that. That's Sally. I was looking for Joshua.
No, that's Sierra.
Oh, Sierra. Okay. So I got somebody here. Can you speak up?
How's it going?
Okay. Can y'all hear that?
Yeah.
All right. So this is Joshua. And Joshua, I'm in front of the church. You may be sitting at a meal. But anyway, so I'm going to ask Joshua a few questions. I told him it wouldn't take long. So Joshua, let me ask you something. Have you ever had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with somebody?
I have, yes.
How important, Joshua, is it to you that a person know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior?
I think it's the most important.
Let me ask you something, Joshua. Where did you learn or see or hear that a relationship with Christ was important and that it was important to share your faith?
I learned it from you. I learned it from Mom. Definitely some people along the way. My brothers were a big influence on that. I learned it in Atlanta working for a homeless ministry. Learned it you know, different churches I've worked at along the way, but I would say the biggest influence has been you, for sure.
So if you have opportunity to share your faith with a lost person, you would do it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Joshua, listen, enjoy your meal. Thanks for the time.
All right,
Love you. Bye-bye. So the pastor asked me to kind of incorporate evangelism with our family. So that's the reason I asked Joshua to speak to you. And
let's see the other phone.
So I'm going to be, by the way, the funeral home said that they'd be the last to let me down, and that was comforting. I was pleased to hear that. You know, when you need encouragement, it's good. So this is Sally. This is Sally. Sally, I'm in front of the church here, and I just want to ask you a couple of questions, okay?
Okay.
So, Sally, have you ever had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with someone?
I have.
I'm breaking up, not you. Have you ever had the opportunity to pray with someone to receive Christ?
I have.
Great. Well, Sally, let me ask you something. Where did you learn that it was important to share your faith with other people.
You taught me that, Dad.
That was a good answer. I'm going to say goodbye. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
They didn't know what I was going to ask them. But it's important for me as a parent to know that my children understand the importance of sharing Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask us to pray. Father, we believe your word that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins and rose again from the dead, that he ascended, that he's coming back. Father, we believe your word that says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Father, we thank you for the gift, for the blood and the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you that that you saved us when Father, we were sinners. And before we ever loved you, you loved us. Bless this time. Anoint it with your Holy Spirit. We bless and praise you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. I remember my first trip to Disney World. After I got over the anger of having to pay to park, I went into, if I wear two pair of glasses, it's because I need them. If I wear one, the doctor gave them to me. But I remember being in a 360-degree panoramic theater that Disney World had. I'd heard about it. And so you go in there and you stand and around you, 360 degrees, they have this film that's playing, and it shows, for example, driving through the Himalayas and in a Jeep. And you can look over the side and look straight down, and people are screaming and everything. And during this whole deal, things got a little hairy, and a guy fell over watching the video because he was oriented toward what he was seeing. I guess he thought he fell out of the Jeep. There was a short yell. It wasn't me, by the way. I was relieved that he reminded me I need to hold on to the rail. But I want to say two things out of this. One of them is that if you focus too much on what's going on around you, you can lose your balance. You can be absorbed by all the activity that's happening, and you can lose perspective, because our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus and his word, or else we can get knocked off balance. We can become angry at things that are happening. I had someone call me just recently, and from California. How recent it was? It was yesterday. And they told me that things were bad. As this young lady described it to me, she had lost her parents and two cats. I didn't spend a lot of time on the two cats. But it also, her husband threatened to kill her. And so there were some of those issues. But the need is everywhere. One of the things that brings me to be an evangelist, and by the way, I've gotten so much from Kurt and Craig and these guys who've spoken. I feel like I'm in seminary when they speak. What they say and the things they teach are rich and deep. And fellows, I just want you to know I appreciate it. It's a great gift. I tell them this probably jokingly, but I actually mean it. I'm not worthy of tying their shoelaces because they know so much. Anytime you're mentoring seven people, we're in an entirely different league. Now, if they were in jail, we'd probably have a better opportunity to see them, but a lot of these guys don't stay there that long. But one of the things that I see in God's Word compels me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to read one of these verses, one of these areas. It says in Matthew 4, 23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among his people, among this people. News about him spread through all Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, and Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. You know, I've used this expression with people and said, you know, let's hang out. I don't remember the last time I said that because I got a lot of no's. But I would like to hang out with Jesus. I would like to see him do what he did because this is amazing. To set people free from illnesses, to have crowds follow you and stand in line and not refer them to another clinic, not to ask them, are you self-pay? Do you have insurance, Medicare, Medicaid? How are you going to pay? No, Jesus healed them. And that's the Jesus I love sharing with people who are lost, because, folks, there's no one like him, no one at all. So I'm going to ask Christopher a question. Christopher, have you ever had the opportunity to share your faith?
Yes, I have.
You believe it's important then?
Absolutely.
Good man. Takes after his mother. Christopher, where did you learn to share your faith?
I learned it by watching you and Mom, by example.
Good answer. I'm going to buy you pizza tonight, okay?
Yes.
Love you. I have to tell you, by the way, that Dee is a mentor master. She is amazing. She has the ability to latch on to young women that she actually makes contact with in the library and to hear them pour out their heart many times and to spend time with them in God's Word and deal with the questions and issues that they have. Sometimes it happens in our house. Sometimes it happens at the church. But she makes it happen. She's unrelenting. And these young women come to know the Lord, and we trust their families come to know the Lord. But Dee is a mentoring master, and I can't even stand in her shadow. Good job. So I want to read some more scripture to you. In Matthew again, I love this stuff. Matthew 9:35, we see Jesus. This man, I'm following him. I'm kind of trucking through the New Testament. I hear Jesus being talked about because he's being prophesied. And finally, I hear he's in town, and I follow him. And this is where I follow him. The Bible says Matthew 9, forgive me for my notes, 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless and like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to pray, the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into his harvest field." This morning, as I shared in jail, I said to these men, I said, "Listen, if you could write down all your sins, and we could be accurate about it, it might be 10,000 or 100,000, doesn't matter. Let's say there are 100,000. You write them down, and all 99,999 are covered, and one is not by the blood of Jesus. Someone has to pay for that sin. It's either you or Jesus. But Jesus paid it all. Amen? I tell you, the beauty of the jail is the freedom I have. I've had deacons ask me to leave, but then I realized that we don't have deacons. So I paid no attention. But it's a wonderful thing to share the gospel and hear men receive Jesus Christ and excited about it. Paul goes with me to the jail, and I saw something unusual happen with Paul this morning. Paul spoke, and they applauded. Did you get that? They didn't applaud for me. They did for him. But I want to ask Paul a question. Paul, do you believe it's important to bring the gospel to men who are lost and without Jesus? Paul, have you ever had the opportunity, as you did this morning, to lead men to Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, Paul, where did you learn that? Amen. Thank you. I'll buy you pizza too. But folks, I want to tell you, being mentored by family is important. My mother, years ago up in North Carolina, there was a lady that lived one house up from us. Her name was Earlene. And Earlene would come down. She was a very lonely person because no one understood her when she talked. I could tell you the syllables she used, but they would make no sense to you either. So there's no one in this city, in this state and nation, who could understand what Earlene said. But she would come down and she would talk to my mother in a language unknown. She was not a foreigner, as we would say, somebody who speaks a language from another country. She just could not speak in a way that was intelligent. My mother taught me something about voice inflection and being able to use good Southern phrases. For example, Earlene would say something, and my mother would say, "Is that right?" And Earlene would just get pumped up. Yeah. She would just kick in high gear. Well, I declare, Earlene would just go in another gear. By the way, I was talking to a man in Trenton one time when I was coming down to interview for a job at Trenton High School, and I used that word. I just said, "Well, I declare." He said, "That's my daughter's name." I was thinking, "You are lonesome." But it was. His daughter's name was Ida Claire. I didn't use that expression anymore. But Earlene would just talk. Folks, something was happening here. But I watched my mother as she cleaned the kitchen cabinets and washed dishes and ministered to this lady. And mother would tell her, "Well, Earlene, I've got to go. I've got to do some laundry or something like this. I've got to get ready for lunch or supper." And Earlene would pedal off. But I want to tell you, she was blessed. She left blessed. It was a cup of water to a thirsty person. Folks, when you go to the jail, we see people who are hurting, who are broken, whose lives are wrecked. I remember growing up in North Carolina. My dad was a pastor. Maybe that surprised you. But anyway, on one side of the church were a family that had triplets, fraternal triplets. There was a girl and two boys. One of the boys shot the other boy and killed him. Across the street, just across the street, was a man that had issues drinking. And we played football with his son, who had polio and wore a brace. Everybody wanted to be on his side because you didn't want to tackle him. But the children would come over at night, and they'd call my dad and say, "Preacher, will you come over? Because my dad is beating my mother." My daddy was a pretty big man. And he would go over there and get in the way because Jack was drunk. And we saw this brokenness everywhere you looked. There was a man just about another house down who had a parakeet that died because he was illiterate and didn't know you were supposed to feed the parakeet seed instead of gravel. And I think the parakeet's last words might have been, read the label. But he'd bring the stuff to us and say, what happened here, you know? And my mother would have to explain to him, this is not food. You just put it for the birds to sharpen their beaks sort of thing. He might have bought another one, done the same thing. I don't know. But I want to read something else to you. If you look with me in the book of Mark 1, verses 32 and 33, the Bible says that Jesus was doing some pretty amazing things. He heals many, the Bible says. He says that evening, verse 32, Mark 1, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Folks, Jesus did the kinds of things that made me want to follow him. You know, I've gone through many levels of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'll expound on that, but where's Polly? Here's Polly. Polly, I want to ask you a few questions. You know the questions. Have you ever had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with anybody? And have you ever had the opportunity to pray with them, Polly, and see them receive Christ? Polly, where did you learn that? Amen. If you want pizza, you also get it. But Polly is a witness. I know that. I know her love for the Lord. And I know that this church is a soul-winning church. And it says in Proverbs 11 that he that winneth souls is wise. And while I'm at it, I'll ask Michael. Michael is a man who's on the road doing good things for a lot of people. I've had opportunity to participate in some of the things Michael has done. But Michael, have you ever had the opportunity to just share your faith? Have you ever understood that the people that you meet, many of them, actually need Jesus Christ and need a relationship with him? You could share your faith, right, Michael, and lead a person to the Lord? Where did you learn that? Woo! Good answer. Mama Polly, that was my mother. She was amazing. But folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus went about doing good. This morning I had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with these men and to say to them, wouldn't you like to know a man like this? Wouldn't you like to follow him? Understand God's word says the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Who you want to follow, a man who wants to murder you, rob you, and destroy you, or a man that says, I'll give you life? Follow me, and I'll show you the power of God at work in a person's life. I was thinking coming in tonight that isn't it amazing that God can take 100, and I won't give out the exact number, but a sack of dirt, which is basically what we are when we die. There's not a lot left. And he can indwell that person's life, and he can spirit-fill that person's life, and he can use this person to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with tens or hundreds or maybe thousands of people. God can do that, and no one else can. This is good stuff, folks. One of the things that impresses me about what I do is I came upon this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, every human being is in the process of becoming a noble being, noble beyond imagination, or else, alas, a vile being beyond redemption. He exhorts us, the writer says, to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. There are no ordinary people. It is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. I was thinking today too. So let's say I'm finished speaking in jail and this guy walks up to me and he says, listen, can I talk to you a minute? My name's Joseph. And I haven't done anything to deserve being in here. And I'm thinking, okay, Joseph, I've never heard that before. He says, I just wonder if you can get me out. I was working for this guy by the name of Potiphar, and his wife accused me of some things. I didn't do it, but I'm here. And I just wonder if there's anything you can do to help get me out. And I'd say to Joseph, well, Joseph, I'll tell you what, I'm going to think about what you told me. I'll do some research, and maybe we can find someone who can represent you. I don't do that, by the way. It'd be hard for me to believe, about 7 years removed from that conversation, I'd be buying grain from that guy. Really important grain to live and feed my family. Folks, you don't know who you talk to. These guys that I meet in jail, I look at them, they're broken or whatever. But as I had the opportunity to share this morning, and Paul shares the same thing, that that God's plans for you are greater than anything you can possibly imagine. He's wider, deeper. He's got a plan that absolutely knocks you out. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will discover that plan for yourself. I don't know what it is, but I don't need to know. I trust that God will make you the man of God that you created to be. A light in your community and family, the salt of the earth, the man of God in your neighborhood. And people will see and know that you're a man that's anointed and empowered. Robert, let me ask you a question. There's Robert. Robert, I do know mentors, and he talks to people about the Lord, but I'm going to ask him anyway because I want to make it a full 100%. I think I've done it. So, Robert, have you ever had the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with anyone? Have you seen a change in their life? You've understood how important it is. So you could share Jesus Christ with someone today. Robert, where did you learn that? Praise God. These are the real deal. Folks, this is a family thing. You know, there are a lot of families that grow up Gators. I can't quit trusting the Gators. I started rooting for Alabama. But excuse me, Cecil, I didn't mean to say that. But he'll call me a traitor later. But the fact of the matter is I can, if forgive the term, I can sell Jesus Christ. I can lift him up and say to that person and that man, I don't know where you are now, but I know where you need to be, and I know where God wants to take you if you will give your life to Jesus Christ. And folks, this is something that in your family and mine, we can teach our children to do. To share their faith, to do what these fellows have recommended, memorizing the scripture, sharing God's word. How exciting it is to be in the jail and to see men's faces go from brokenness to a smile across their face when they realize that God can do something in them no one else can do. I want to share a couple other verses, and then we're going to end. But I want to thank you for your patience. Look with me in Luke 4:38. This is the man, Jesus Christ, that I want to introduce these men that I meet in jail. Let's see if I got this right. Luke 4:38. I'm going to pretend it is and just keep reading. Thank you for your support. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left. And she got up at once and began to wait on them. And the sun was setting. People brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness. Laying his hands on each of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." And he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ.
Wow. Folks, that shakes me to the core. You know, I grew up with a Roman road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for our sins. And of course, Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him again from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Years ago I met a man, I knew a man real well. Dee and I were good friends with him, and he was a member of this church. And he had developed an illness. He went to the doctor, and the doctor here in Gainesville, and the doctor said, you're going to die of this. Sorry to tell you. It's going to take your life. And at the time, North Central had a minister of evangelism. I didn't know there were such people. But he went to this minister of evangelism, and he said, listen, I need you to do something for me. And he said, what is it, Richard? He said, I'm going to die. I know that. We're all going to. But he said, I've been given a fairly soon death sentence here, and I've never led anybody to the Lord. I don't want to go to heaven, never having invited anyone to relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you go with me and help me pray with someone to receive Christ? He walked out of that church office and walked down the street and started knocking on doors. Got some people not at home. One guy slammed the door. Richard was a police officer. He said, well, it's right about here. I kicked the door down. But they kept walking and finally found a gentleman who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he prayed with him, and he received Christ. We used to sing a song, must I go in empty-handed? Must I leave, meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? You know, it just brings me joy that I can share Jesus Christ with people. I know Jerry Brandon's probably giving out more of these tracts and Billy Graham Association has, but fact is, folks, every one of us have an evangelistic method. Just saying, listen, you know, I've grown to care about you, and it matters to me as a friend. I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Could I take a minute and tell you how you could know him? All the people we pass in a day, all the opportunities we might have, and I fail at this many times, but I want to tell you something. God convicted me to move ahead and to move forward. I praise God that he is faithful and he has saved me. God is good. I thank you for the opportunity to share with you tonight. I pray that each of us, and many of you here, have taught young people in this church how to share their faith. This is really a big deal. I'm thinking about Rita and Paul and so many others of you here. I can't name all the names, but you take seriously about teaching children and young people and college students, as these gentlemen do, how to walk with the Lord. So we're going to have an invitation hymn. We ask Michael and the crew to come up. I'm going to pray right now as they come up and invite you to receive Jesus Christ tonight if you have never met him as your Lord and Savior.
Perhaps you may just want to say, you know, I need to step up my deal here. I need to do a better job. I need to understand the necessity of sharing the Lord Jesus with a lost world.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.